This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Did you say 68 degrees?
Yes, I did.
We need to be doing this show from the parking lot or the backyard.
Yeah. And that's in the shade. If you're out in the sun, it's more.
Find me a bench somewhere. Oh, wait. Well,
you did find a bench earlier. A dog tried to give you one.
You.
How many of us lately have said out loud, is everyone around me sick? How many people, like, I'm telling you, one of my four children, multiple girlfriends in the last 2 to 3 weeks, like out of work for 3 to 5 days, sick, Scott.
A story here from CBS News. This season's flu vaccine may have been a poor match to a strain of the flu virus that caused many infections this weekend, according to early data released today by the CDC. The CDC's latest data come as much of the U.S. is finally seeing signs of a slowdown in flu activity and waves of illness this past fall and winter that climbed to the worst rates recorded from hospitals and doctor's offices since 2009, when the swine flu was a thing. Quoting here from Dr. John LaPook, this is a bad year, no doubt about it. Up to 910,000 hospitalizations are estimated to have been caused by the flu since October. That puts the season on track to be the most severe in at least a decade.
Real quick, if you look at the map, Kansas and Missouri, and Oklahoma is in there too, as is Nebraska, the very highest level of high on the CDC Fluenza reporting website, the very highest level of high comes in Kansas and Nebraska. All of the states around us, including Missouri, are just one level below that of very high.
Joining us on the KMZ hotline is Dr. Dana Hawkinson with the University of Kansas Health System. Doctor, it's been a minute. Welcome.
Hi. Yeah, it's good to be back.
Good to have you back.
Good to have you, Doctor. My son was one of them. His turned out to be flu B. And he said to me, you know, what's the point of getting the flu shot if we get the flu? It is always our best effort when we are coming up with the flu vaccine based on, is it Australia's results?
Yeah, exactly. The flu vaccine strains for the compilation of what will go into the vaccine for us is typically made 6 months in advance based on the southern hemisphere circulating strains at that point in time. So, you know, we identify what's going on in the southern hemisphere, both in South America and Australia, and then try to make up the our influenza vaccine components from that.
Who do they use for their flu vaccine?
Well, it's just a continual cycle, right? And they're probably looking at what's circulating a lot right now in our community, in our country.
So what should people know? Because the season is what it is. I mean, continual hand washing and best practices and all of those things.
Yeah, I mean, I think the first thing is that it's like adequate hand washing. Frequent hand washing is going to help protect you probably more than anything from getting infected. you know, avoid putting your hands in your eyes, your nose, your mouth. It's hard to do, but when we're out in those areas, especially around public places, you know, really try to avoid that. The other message that really needs to be emphasized is the fact that our messaging from the vaccine, from the pandemic, you know, was wrong. People think, I get a vaccine, I'm not going to get the infection. That is not what the vaccines are for. Vaccines, really all of the vaccines, are made to help reduce the chance of you going to the hospital. They are made to help reduce your chance of severe infection. And most of the vaccines that we have available are extremely good at this. Certainly, our current influenza vaccines, you know, they could be optimized.
One of the news stations is reporting the state of Missouri has seen a 143.6 increase in flu cases this year. 143.6. We know there have been about 114 deaths. Does that alarm you based on the numbers in prior years?
Yeah, you know, we have seen variable rates, certainly in 2021, 2022. Those numbers of total cases and deaths were significantly lower because of all of the other things that we are doing to help decrease the spread of COVID. But, you know, any year we will have variable amounts, and this tends to be a very bad year as far as number of infections, number of hospitalizations, and even deaths as well.
Do you know, Doctor, how effective the flu vaccine normally is, and conversely, how effective it is this year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, and when we're looking at effectiveness, we want to say, how effective is this vaccine at protecting you from going to the hospital or seeking medical care or from having severe disease? At any given year, it tends to be about, it tends to reduce your risk of those things by 30 to 50%. Again, certainly we would like it much higher than that, but in any given year, it tends to reduce your risk of going to the hospital, seeking medical care, or having severe disease by 30 to 50%. And especially with those patients with comorbid conditions who are at high risk, that is a great thing. Anything you can do to reduce their chance of going to the hospital, but also for otherwise healthy people, because they are extremely at risk of seeking medical care and having severe disease as well.
You know, there are always stories, and I knew someone years ago who lost his wife to the flu, and she was an otherwise perfectly healthy 40-something-year-old mother. When you look at the age-adjusted death rates right now, Arkansas, Mississippi, Tennessee, Kentucky are not doing great. We aren't far behind with our death rates. What does that say to you when you look at comorbidities? And we are seeing, you know, the death rates higher in, or maybe the healthcare isn't as great, or people are not seeking out best practices. I guess, what does that data say to you?
Oh, you know, I think there are so many things to parse out there for sure. So I think it is communities and access. It is fighting against misinformation. It is, you know, even things like,
yeah.
Well, if you get the vaccine, you're still going to get influenza. Yes, that is true, but your chance of having significant complications from getting the vaccine are going to be much less, less if you get the vaccine. So I think it is a multitude of factors, misinformation, access to care, just seeking normal routine care, and things of that nature. Also, we are obviously coming out of the pandemic. There's been a lot of political division about getting a vaccine, getting not a vaccine. There is a significant mistrust of science, medicine, physicians, public health workers. All of this stuff does play a role. But just as you said, a healthy, otherwise healthy woman who passed away. I know recently I've treated a patient in their early 30s who had influenza, did well for a few days, and then got significantly worse and had a underlying bacterial pneumonia now after the influenza viral illness, and had significant destruction of major parts of their lungs. So it can happen to anybody.
This would be purely anecdotal, I think, unless you have some data, but have you noticed or a tendency perhaps for people to get vaccinated less often over the last couple of years for anything, whether it's COVID, the flu, RSV?
Yeah, certainly anecdotally, but I also think the data, obviously the data overall tends to be back a year because we have to go and collect it and then analyze it. But I think all the data would support the fact that vaccine coverage for various vaccine preventable diseases is going down, but also vaccine coverage for things like influenza and SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19 have significantly decreased over the last few years as well.
That's why I brought up the 44-year-old, because I think people think, oh, you can't die from the flu. Oh, yes, you can.
Mm-hmm. Certainly you can. You absolutely can. And it is influenza. It's influenza complications, but it's also, you do have a high risk of a now secondary bacterial infection, particularly with organisms like Staph aureus or Strep pneumoniae coming through now in that lung that is already damaged and settling in there, causing a significant bacterial pneumonia and causing severe illness.
If you need to know how quickly time flies, it was 5 years ago next month that we first met.
Yeah, I mean, that was a bad time. It was great meeting you guys and trying to help the community, but it was a bad time.
Don't ever want to go through that again.
For most everybody. Well,
which, by the way, we had a story, Dr. Dana, yesterday that there is a new coronavirus that has been found in bats. It is not transmitted to humans yet. Please tell me we're not coming in for deja vu all over again.
Well, I hope not. But, you know, it is going to take vigilance and the research, the investigations. We know and understand that with various things like climate change and increasing populations going into areas where we haven't been before, coming into contact more and more with the animals and the world around us, we know that that is a very real possibility. There was a good Nature publication a couple years ago just showing the rate of increase of people coming into contact with animals like bats or bat habitats, where we know there have been a number of different viruses which have caused us humans significant problems, things like SARS-CoV-1, SARS-CoV-2, Ebola, some of those other significant diseases as well.
Dr. Dana Hawkinson with the University of Kansas Health System, do appreciate your time and your expertise. Thank you for it.
Thank you.
Be well.
Sam Stevie III. She is Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks. Don't forget, we're doing Terrible Joke Tuesday at 4:45 this afternoon. Your jokes have to be arable, but they have to be terrible. So, story here from NBC News. An NFL team has submitted a proposal to ban the quarterback sneak known as the tush. Push.
And I am so happy that it was not the Chiefs made this proposal.
The Green Bay Packers are the team that submitted the rule change, according to The Athletic and the NFL Network. The play made most famous by the Super Bowl champion Eagles is a short yardage quarterback sneak in which quarterback is aided by players shoving him from behind.
Can't you do the tush push without the quarterback? The reason we stopped doing it was because Patrick Mahomes got hurt, right?
So there are other teams that have taken their second string tight end, for example.
Yes, you go in.
Had them play as the quarterback in that role because they
would that be outlawed under this? Because I think the play is funny. I mean,
I like the play.
I do too. But it's most often used against us, so we should probably be for them getting rid of it, right?
No, because I like the play.
At what point do you let the boys play ball?
Yep.
I mean, just because a strategy is a good strategy doesn't mean it should be banned.
There's no way this is new either. I will tell you this. There was one play in the last 2 years, I don't even remember, where Creed Humphrey, like, we were not getting that ball over the line. We were not. And then out of nowhere, out of, like, the right frame of the camera, Creed Humphrey comes flying in like Batman and just lands on that pile, and then it was a touchdown. I laughed so hard.
I like the tush push. I like the name of it, too.
I do, too.
I think it's funny.
I mean, Aaron Rodgers, I know that he's been controversial since then, but for a while there was one of the greatest quarterbacks in the league. And his specialty was the Hail Mary. What are we going to say? Sorry, Aaron, you are no longer allowed to lob that ball into the air because you're too good at it. It leads to too many touchdowns.
Who decides, and when do we find out?
The NFL owners would probably decide it. They have rules meetings every year. The Packers have proposed it. It now goes to the the owners. Well, it probably goes to a rules committee first, and then the owners would vote on it.
Wait a minute. Text line is saying the tush push was illegal, and they had to change the rules so that teams could do it.
I don't know.
I don't recall it being illegal.
I just recall laughing when I saw Creed do it.
The Kansas City Chiefs, this is according to Sam McDowell, the Kansas City Star, the Chiefs do expect Travis Kelce to come back next season.
That's all over the news today.
But they're not saying that he's announced. I'm looking for another source.
He has not announced it.
No, so they're saying leaning. It's like language like leaning toward, expected to maybe.
He has until March 14th to give them a final decision. Rosters have to be submitted, I believe, on the 14th. And so by the 14th, if he has not told them yes or no, they are assuming that he is going to play out the last year of his contract.
You got one year left.
All of the chatter today is solely about comments that were made
by Brett
either
Veach
before or around the Super Bowl from Travis Kelce to Andy Reid and Brett Veach, both of which said that he is very fired up to come back next season, not saying that he has made a decision.
So here's the quote from GM Brett Veach today. As far as I am concerned, there is no deadline. I think we left it as he'd be back. We're excited to get him back and get him going.
Okay.
That's from Veach. Story here from the Associated Press. Scientists have finally given the all clear to Earth from a newly discovered asteroid. After 2 months of observation, scientists have almost fully ruled out any threat from asteroid 2024 YR4. At one point, the odds of a strike on Earth in 2032 were as high as 3%. They now say they have lowered the odds to 0.0027%.
Okay, that's supposed to make me feel better.
Somebody got the money they were looking for.
But there is a 1.7% chance the asteroid could hit the moon on December 22nd, 2032. That's actually a pretty close flyby. Huh. NASA says the world's telescopes will continue to track the asteroid as it heads away from us, with the Webb Space Telescope zooming in next month to pinpoint its size.
I predict that in 7 years, we will still be sitting in front of these microphones, and we will say,
seven?
It was a near...
That's a bold prediction.
I don't know, that's pretty bold, Sam.
Let me shoot for the stars.
When you say we...
Yeah. Let me shoot for the stars.
Do you mean one member will still be in front of these microphones?
We've got multiple personalities.
Hope that you are. One of the questions, by the way, that came up on the podcast that we were invited to take part in with Frank Bohl. There's just something about Kansas City. That podcast dropped today.
That's right.
You can get it on all of your podcast platforms. Scott and I went, about a month ago and sat down with Frank, mm-hmm. his lovely wife, and we were interviewed, which was
very weird.
It's very weird for us to have that happen.
Very weird.
Very weird.
He's very good, though. Frank Bohl.
Oh, he's great. I called him today and thanked him again.
And I've known Frank for 30-some-odd years, is a brilliant interviewer. And I thoroughly enjoyed myself, even though it was very awkward for me. He made a very awkward situation as comfortable as it could be.
You're just not used to having people asking you questions.
No, and I'm not used to having a camera pointed at me.
Yeah.
That always gets me. Like, even when I'm on Kansas City Week in Review, which is not very often, I mean, I get butterflies walking into that studio because I know there's going to be a camera pointed at me. And it's just weird. But we were the first ever of their 75 episodes, the first one put on camera.
Yep. Between two ferns. We're literally sitting between two ferns.
That's right.
You want to talk about the news that you and I have collectively covered over the decades. Cake out of Wichita just posted this. It was 20 years ago today.
So 2005.
This is how old we are, Scott.
Hurricane Katrina. No.
20 years ago today that authorities announced they had caught Dennis Rader, BTK.
Is that a fact?
20 years ago today. It was, by the way, one of the worst news conferences I've ever suffered through in my entire life. I think they took 42 minutes to finally get to the announcement that this is his name and this is what went down. You know, it was a lot of dignitaries crowding that. You want to talk about fighting to get in front of a camera.
He is 79 years old.
Yeah. Do you see his photo? Whoo!
Oh, he looks old. No, the only photo I have is this one right here, booking photo from 20 years ago.
20 years ago today, that cat and mouse game with authorities and the media came to an end when he was arrested during a traffic stop, I believe, if memory serves.
It was. It was. Because he couldn't. What's the word I'm looking for here? He could not survive without the attention that he once had.
He wanted the cat and mouse. He wanted the attention. Mm-hmm. I don't think he wanted to get caught, but I think he wanted the continued attention. You remember he asked them, if I send you a disc,
Would you be able to track it?
And they were like, no.
And then
he sent the disc.
He used a disc from the church where he was a deacon.
A floppy disc.
Mm-hmm. And then there was something with a Home Depot and his truck.
Yep. It was a Barbie doll, some macabre scene where she was bound with a Barbie doll.
In a cereal box
with a floppy disc. And he had deposited it into someone's truck that had just parked there. And the guy comes out after buying lumber or whatever and sees this in his truck. And if you're in Wichita back then, you know, there were so many of those little hints dropped all around town. Mm-hmm. You would be freaking out and wondering what was going on. He called police. Police picked up the disc. The rest is history.
Text line is 913-586-7798. We will do Terrible Joke Tuesday in about 15 minutes. Get your terrible jokes in now. 913-586-7798. Remember, they have to be arable, but terrible. Read that dad jokes. 586-7798. Terrible jokes at 445.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on. 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.
I was refreshing my memory on the BTK case. Keep in mind, he worked for the city of Park City, Kansas, which is a suburb of Wichita.
Compliance.
That's right.
Rules person.
That's right. In May of 2004, Cake TV received a letter with chapter headings for the, quote, BTK story, fake IDs and a word puzzle. This guy was crazy, is crazy. On June 9th, a package was found taped to a stop sign at the corner of First and Kansas Roads in Wichita, which contained graphic descriptions of the Otero murders and a sketch labeled, "The Sexual Thrill Is My Bill." After his capture, Dennis Rader admitted in his interrogation that he had been planning to kill again.
There were a couple of women, Scott, that he stalked, had tagged as victims.
He had set a date in October of 2004 and was stalking his intended victim.
Police had to go to that woman and say, crazy story, but grab your stuff. We've got to get you out of here.
How did they know it was her that he was trailing?
Because at the time, they were tailing him. They were tailing her, and they knew they had to move in. If memory serves, they knew they had to move in.
They knew he was the suspect.
Just enough evidence to we think this is the guy.
But they didn't have the DNA yet, which they got from his daughter's pap smear at K-State. What a nut. In December of 2004, Wichita police received another package from the killer. This time, the package was found in Wichita's Murdoch Park. It contained the driver's license of Nancy Fox, one of the women he had killed, as well as a doll that was bound at the hands and feet with a plastic bag tied over its head. It was in January of 2005 that Rader attempted to leave a cereal box in the bed of a pickup truck at a Home Depot in Wichita, but the box was discarded by the truck's owner. It was later retrieved from the trash after Rader asked what had become of it in a later message. Surveillance tape of the parking lot from that date revealed a distant figure driving a Jeep Cherokee, leaving the box in the pickup truck.
That narrowed down the search. Obviously, they knew then what kind of car they were looking for.
Wow.
Just a horrible.
Is he on death row?
Awful. I was just wondering. Life? I don't remember, Scott, and not that we mete out that punishment in Kansas anyway.
No, we don't.
If anyone deserved the death penalty for what was done to those women and children.
Life imprisonment. 10 consecutive life terms.
It's that guy.
12 plus is listed as his victims.
God, just awful.
He's at El Dorado. I think that's the same prison where Johnny Robinson is, if I'm not mistaken. Story here out of Chicago. A Southwest plane almost collided with a... Man, what is going on? Almost collided with a private jet as it was landing at Midway International Airport. The Southwest Boeing 737 had departed from Omaha earlier this morning. Footage of the terrifying moment shows Flight 2504 aborting its landing as the private plane entered its path. The Southwest pilot performed a quick go-around and briefly touching down on the runway in order to avoid a catastrophe. If you haven't seen the video, check it out when you get home. This Southwest pilot is a hero. He literally lands on the runway and goes right back up.
So if you're sitting on that plane, you know, you can't see what's dead to rights in front of you. And and the plane is landing with the two pilots on the Southwest plane, landing. Mm-hmm. What happens is the smaller plane just plays Frogger right in front of them.
Yeah.
So if you're seated on that plane as a passenger, you can't see what's going on up ahead. You just know that you've just landed.
And you just took back off.
And you just, can you imagine you're sitting there?
No.
And brace for landing. Boom, we've touched down. And then boom, back up.
Because what happens
is you go down. And the second that plane hits down, that nose goes shooting back up. And you know that they train for that.
But now, I hope so.
Oh.
To be clear, they did not touch the ground. They were
They were on final approach.
They were probably 10, 15 feet from the ground.
That's even more incredible.
And pulled right back up, got out of there, looped back around and landed.
Okay, can we just have a physics discussion, please?
Sure.
How physically is that even possible as you are coming down, 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 the flaps are down, 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 mm-hmm. and then right before you touch...
That is a pilot that is very, very,
skilled.
Very good at what they're doing.
And observant.
I said earlier, he saved everybody. Do you know how many? I don't want to go there. That would have been a catastrophic incident.
If you have lost enough airspeed and have enough downforce, there is no recovering from that. Trying to pull up too quickly will force the engine to stall. Again, this pilot, very good at what they're doing.
And can you imagine, God forbid, that he had collided with that passenger plane? I believe it was a private jet, if I'm not mistaken, that had landed at Midway. There's already been enough bad aviation news in this country. I haven't even touched on the story of the flight from Atlanta where the cabin filled with smoke.
What's interesting about those stories is it says the cabin appears to fill with smoke.
No, it did.
It did. I've seen the video.
Yep.
Even more interesting about the flight in Atlanta that filled with smoke, the same plane filled with smoke like, I don't know, 6 months ago or something.
And so I was watching the news. They were talking about, this was right before I left for work, they were talking about this plane in Chicago. And then, of course, the plane in Atlanta that filled with smoke, and I don't even need to mention what happened 3 weeks ago in Washington, D.C. and all the other near collisions that have been reported over the last handful of months. And I can't remember what... I think it was CNN, if I'm not mistaken, but they had one of their aviation experts on who said Americans are growing very hesitant to fly.
Or at least more, you know, you pause and think, I hope everybody's paying attention today. I said to Scott during a break, Sam.
And it's still the safest way to travel.
I know that pilots, you know, as that plane is coming in, they are dialed in. They are in control of that plane.
Oh, yeah.
One of them looks away for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
We have... an extremely different outcome in that near miss with the Southwest plane.
I actually went and dug into the numbers from the NTSB, and you guys won't believe what I found.
What?
January was far below the average in terms of airline incidents.
Yep.
February on pace to be far below the average.
Yeah.
That doesn't make me feel any better.
Well, not after what you saw in Washington, D.C. And, you know, that video got played over and over again, and every time you see it, even though it's just... new video of one incident, it buries it into your mind, this stuff isn't safe, even though it really is. I had a session with my psychologist today, and he knows that Maya's in flight school. And he said, how are you doing emotionally with everything that's in the news? And I think the Midway story was either breaking or just about to had broken right before our session. And I said, I'm not going to lie. I mean, I get nervous sometimes, but she's very good at what she does. She goes to a very good school for pilots. And I said, I just have to trust. I have to trust that she's learning everything she needs to do. And I mean, if I sat around and worried about that all the time.
And that everyone around her is also doing their job.
Of course. And if I sat around and worried about that all day, I mean, you'd be tying me up in a straitjacket. Well, you probably want to anyway. But then, of course, we have this one out of Atlanta, and then I'll read this, and then we'll get to terrible jokes. A Delta Airlines flight bound for South Carolina was forced to return to Atlanta on Monday morning when haze filled the cabin. Just 2 days after a similar mishap diverted another Delta flight to Los Angeles. Delta Flight 876 was in the air with 99 passengers and a crew on board at 8:30 this morning when the pilot turned the Boeing around and landed back at Atlanta International Airport. Everyone was evacuated on emergency slides. Nobody was hurt. A passenger said in a video, "We are being evacuated off the plane. I recorded the whole time. I recorded the evacuation, the smoke, and all of it."
What appeared to be smoke? Why do people say that?
They said
like
appeared
that?
To be haze.
There is a wild image of dozens of passengers just standing on the plane wing.
Oh,
can we get off anytime soon?
We bounce down that thing.
Yeah.
You know, as we're talking about all these incidents, and I'm not trying to scare people, but, you know, we have the near collision at Midway today. We had the Atlanta flight. We had the D.C. flight. We totally forgot to mention the plane that flipped upside down.
That was, what, 4 days ago?
Sometime last week.
Yeah, last week.
All right, here's the text line. It's 913-586-7798. We're going to do terrible jokes coming up in just a moment. Remember, your jokes have to be arable, but they have to be terrible. No bad words, no sexual innuendo. 913-586-
I have a very funny joke.
That you're not going to tell.
No, almost bad words.
Come on!
913-586-7798. Terrible jokes when we return here on Dana and Parks. No, I don't know, but this song was recorded in 82. This is not the one that hit number two in 1987.
Are you not supposed to say the word hobo?
He changed it to Drifter in the version that became a hit 5 years later.
Spotify said that this was the Drifter version, not the hobo version.
It is not. Like, I could tell immediately as soon as you started playing it that was the hobo version.
Anyway, we've got some business to handle.
Here is the text line number, 913-586-7798. Yes, Dana?
Did I tell you, Scott, the other day I accidentally rubbed ketchup in my eyes?
No.
Now I have Heinz sight.
Wow. Hey, Dana.
I'm moving on.
Yes, Sam.
We've all heard about Murphy's Law. You know, anything that will go or that can go wrong will go wrong.
Yes.
Have you ever heard of Cole's Law?
No.
Yeah, Cole's Law. It's thinly sliced cabbage. Come on.
Sam.
Yes, Scott.
From 1761, where do bad rainbows go?
I don't know.
They go to prism, but it's a light sentence.
All right.
Okay. I heard it gives them time to reflect.
Okay, out.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Sam.
If two's company and three's a crowd, what's four and five?
I don't know.
Nine.
Hey, Scott.
Dana.
Why can't you cook stir fry on the ocean?
I don't know.
Because you can't walk on water.
I'm gonna try to do this one. I may screw this one up. Hey, Dana.
Yes.
From 3719, why can chickens only make one sound?
Why?
Because they can't think outside the box, box, box.
That was terrible.
Now, the next few that I read are all from the same texter. You are killing it today, 3076.
Okay.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
Did you know that Mortal Kombat was based on a Scandinavian church song?
Huh. No.
Yeah, it was a Finnish hymn.
Okay.
What else you got from that person who's on fire today?
My wife said that she was leaving me. Hey, Scott.
Hey, Sam, what's up?
My wife said that she was leaving me due to my Star Wars obsession. Huh. I said, may divorce be with you.
Hey, Sam.
Yes, Scott.
From 9812, I got an email explaining how to read maps backwards.
Really?
Yeah, it was spam.
Hey,
I'll
Sam.
I'll let you guys take a minute to let that one sink
right
in.
What do you call your straw when you stab a milkshake?
I don't know.
A shake spear.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
What happens if someone goes back in time and kills the person who invented pizza?
I don't know.
A chain of dominoes never happens.
Hey, Dana.
Yes.
From 3030, did I tell you I got thrown out of a local park after arranging the squirrels by height?
No.
Yeah, they didn't like me critter sizing.
Hey, Sam.
Yes.
What do you call a blind dinosaur?
I don't know.
Do you think he's Zaws?
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Sam.
You know, I heard a news report the other day. They said 30% of students struggle with math.
Wow.
Typical media focusing on the bad instead of the other 80%.
Hey, Sam.
Mm-hmm. Oh, come on.
Really?
After an unsuccessful harvest, why did the farmer decide to try a career in music?
I don't know.
Because he had a ton of sick beats. I'll see myself out.
Hey, Scott.
Yes, Dana.
Did you hear about the Roman emperor who never aged after he turned 19?
No.
His name was Constantine.
Hey, Dana. You know, the other day I asked a German girl for her number, and she started to give it to me, but all I got was 9.
Want to try that what? Again?
German, 9.
Oh.
Got it.
These are going right over your guys'
right, that head. Was...
80-30, you didn't get that one either?
No.
Okay.
Can we not do math, if you don't mind?
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
I tell you, I tripped over a box of Kleenex the other night and really hurt my leg.
Huh. Yeah.
I'm okay. My doctor said it's just tissue damage. Hey, Scott.
Yeah, Dana.
Did I tell you I gave the rest of my pastry to 2 pigeons?
No.
I smiled when I realized that I had filled 2 birds with 1 scone.
Hey, Sam.
Yes?
This is from 5171. Did I tell you I'm excited to join this new autopsy group?
Really?
Yeah, Tuesday night is open mic night.
Whoa.
Hey, Scott.
Yes?
What is a lawyer's favorite drink?
I don't know.
The subpoena colada?
That was good.
Let me tell my joke.
You will not tell the joke about...
Taking
William,
care of some duty
William
in your pants.
Shatner and his pants. You will not tell that joke.
It's Captain Kirk.
No. Nope.
He designs a new line of pants.
And we're good. We're good. Hey, Sam.
Where do ye find a pirate who's lost his wooden leg?
Well, Sam, I don't know. Where do ye?
Right where ye left
ye. News with Dan Weinbaum coming your way in 2 minutes. Thanks for the jokes, everybody. That was fun. Sam Stevie III, Dana Wright. My name is Scott Parks on KMBZ.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.